Hey, everybody. Ed Carbajal here with the Coast to Coast Combat Hour. As always, with Matthew Hawkins, coming to you on July 13th after UFC 264. As always, this podcast is brought to you by AllAccessMMA.com. Make sure you check out AllAccessMMA.com for all your mixed martial arts news. This week, on top of looking back at the past weekend's fights, we're talking to an old friend of mine from the Jiu-Jitsu, Northeast Jiu-Jitsu circuit, or whatever you want to call it, David Kelly, who's got some really, really awesome soap that he's making and slinging on the internet that I absolutely love. David, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I'm pumped to be here.
Awesome. Nice to meet you, David. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe catch us up on how you know my wild co-host over here from Jersey.
Yeah, I'll tell you how I met over here. So I was in a metal band, like a touring hardcore metal band for a long time after I graduated from college. And around 2008, we disbanded. So I was so used to just touring around the road, playing in different states all over the country. And something was sort of missing. I needed something to get into. And I was driving down in New Jersey, Route 18, and saw just a white sign, and all it did was say jiu-jitsu. And I was like, oh, I've seen this on UFC. So I pulled over, it was like 2:30, and the owner of the gym, Brian Katz, was standing outside and was like, hey, come back at 5:30. So I came back at 5:30, and then I've been training since 2008, like until now, so I'm a black belt. And when did you start there?
I didn't start there. I started in so if you remember back then, there was still like an RG or Hoyle Gracie David Adiv thing. We were all under that branch. Yeah. So Brian was a purple belt under him, and so was my original instructor, Chris Bro. And his school, I might have told you this story already, Matt, but his school, which was, I mean, it was south of me, about 20 minutes south of where I work in central New Jersey here in Edison. And I was with him for about a year. So that's 05, 06. So I was with him. No, I'm sorry. 06. I was with him. I think it was 06. Because Joe Fiores has a picture from all of us back then. Not you. It's Brian. I'm a white belt and Brian's a blue belt in the picture. It's been a while. But so my original instructor, he moved further south to Marlboro. And I mean, Dave can speak to the traffic in Jersey at rush hour time. If you're trying to go south around when you get out of work, it's a pain in the ass. So the week that he moved, I remember it was Halloween 2007. he moved to, opened up at the place in Marlboro, and I got out of work. I was sat in traffic so long, but by the time I got there, everybody went home. That was a Monday. The following Tuesday, November 1st, is when I was in North Brunswick at Brian's school to be like, I can't, I need to train. I was already, the bug already bit me. I had already done, striking arts for so long, but I was already bitten by the jiu-jitsu bug. I knew I didn't want to stop. So the following Tuesday, I went to Brian's school, and that Wednesday night, I was training with him. And so it's been ever since.
Yeah, because Brian was a brown belt when I started there.
No, that can't be right. No,
he was one belt higher than Ricardo Romero. So Ricardo Romero who fought in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
A few fights. He was a purple belt.
And yeah, we're all Brian old, so I probably don't know. What? I said we're all old now, so I probably I'm probably misremembering.
Above him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how me and Dave know each other, Matt. And funny thing about Dave, the thing I remember about Dave outside, I mean, he was always super athletic. If I remember, didn't you used to like run to practice and then train and then run home?
Yeah, so I like signed up for a tournament like a few months into it, that Naga Worlds. And I was like, man, I'm not in shape. I just would like run and run and run, and And yeah, I would run like 3 miles before to get there, and then 3 miles back afterwards. It was crazy, man. I could never do that right now.
I know it's funny because I mean we're bringing you on to talk about this product that you made, and what's funny about it is you know we look at ourselves back then and what we were more capable of as far as like what we can tolerate, and yeah. The last time when you were up here not that long ago. And we were rolling after we rolled together or before we rolled, we were just like, yeah, just take it easy. I got, this is messed up on me and I got a bad knee and this is. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I tore my MCL and medial hamstring training. So I'm like, I need to take it easy on it.
Okay. So from what I got here, so you went from a traveling metal band to training jujitsu with Ed. How do we get from there to making soap? Now let's work on that transition.
Yeah. All right. So pretty cool transition. All right. So I currently live in Virginia. I teach at a school, and right when COVID hit, all the classrooms, everything's all the schools shut down. So the kids went this virtual learning that March to June, and I didn't know what to do with my kids, and I teach physics and chemistry, and so I decided to start making soap with them to teach them what soap does to viruses, to germs, why you have to wash your hands for X amount of time, etc. So we did this fundraiser. I had 23 students of mine, so I have 150. So 23 of them, their parents lost their jobs. So I was like, let's make soap, use our chemistry skills. And let's raise money. And we raised in 2 weeks like over $16,000. And it shut down because we were raising so much money, and we were all over the news. So that got me thinking into, man, why don't I liked making it. Why don't I make soap with like for grapplers and athletes? Currently, I don't really know of a couple of companies that do it. So I started making just my own. And I started getting some sense, and I was like, oh, this is sort of good. I wonder how it would be. I loved marketing with the band I was in. And so I was like, oh, this is sort of reminding me of back in the day when we had to put out CDs or t-shirts and stuff like that. So that's how it transitioned to soap with jiu-jitsu. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me bring up the, so this is the soap that he put out. And just before, I mean, like I actually, Dave had already been putting it out on we're friends on Facebook, and he had already been putting out stuff about it. And we talked about it briefly before we rolled the last time you were up here. And then when you put out this limited run of the Ecto Cooler, which is so the company's the Recovery Blueprint, and this particular soap is called the Ecto Cooler, right?
Yeah, correct.
So I ordered it just because, I mean, if anybody that I mean, Brian knows any. I mean, we've had I already forgot the other Dave that trained with us way back then that you fought some MMA matches. He wrote a book, and we've had him on this podcast. So, you know, anyone that I've trained with, you know, anyone that from my martial arts journey that's trying to do something unique or new, I always try to, you know, if me and Matt have this platform to help. So we, you know, I always try to bring somebody on. So I bought it to help, you know, just because I always like to support. And the stuff works really well. Like, I don't know if it's a placebo effect or what, but like bad knee, bad pec. You know, I got some, I, if you remember back around the time when you were around, was when I tore my groin. Yeah. So like the stuff works. Like I when I train, my hardest training is Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I use this soap just to show that I got it. I use the soap, and I actually like it helps. I have to say that it helps.
I got a few reviews, like people telling me, like I had, you know, like they had these cuts or bruises and all these different things. I'm like, oh man, it's crazy that it actually sort of is working. Like the essential oil blends that go into the products are actually working, which is pretty cool.
Well, that's kind of what I was going to ask. So without giving away, obviously, your secret or the blend that you've got going here, what is different with your soap as opposed to just a store-bought, you know, Irish Spring? You know, what is it that your soap hasn't it, or what is, you know, obviously you're saying it helps with cuts and recovery, but what is it about the soap that makes it special?
I've been like researching a lot of like what the different essential oils do and how they interact with each other. It's sort of like that Gracie diet. I don't know if you ever remember that back in the day. And they talked about like you blend this food with this thing and that's when your body takes it in the most. I've sort of been trying to figure that out in a way of like what essential oils would go together and actually like cooperate in a way together. So I've been adding, I guess in that Ecto Cooler, more has like peppermint tea tree oil type of blends to it. I also put a ground walnut shell into it for like an exfoliate to try to, you know, get some of that dead skin and stuff away too. So I think that might be helping too. Like I was spraying it, really have to exfoliate them. They don't really add essential oils for antifungal, or some have the antibacterial, but not all of them do. So.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I definitely, like I said, I love it. And the thing I like most about it is the bar of soap. It's bar soap. It's still as thick as the day that I unwrapped it and started using it. So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely going to last you a while.
Yeah, it does. It does. Because I have all these different ones I want to try and use before I like decide on it. I'm like, man, it lasts too long. And I'm not like tuning the horn. I'm like, I didn't think it would last as long as it does.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. I love it.
Did you say that you got kind of shut down from making it with the school kids? Was it becoming too lucrative and too much money going hand to hand being a teacher?
So the goal was to we were trying to get like $500, $800 for each parent, and we reached like close to the goal, and this TV company called Scripps, they own like the rights to Fox and a couple other stations, 60 major cities over the U.S. So it was like Denver, Salt Lake City, Miami, New York, all these different cities across the nation. We did this sort of what we're doing now. We recorded it and then they were going to air it. And when the school found out they were going to air it, they were like, no, what if someone donates $30,000? What are you going to do with it? I was like, we'll just donate it to a charity. But they said, no, I don't know. If there's stuff in the district that they, I don't really know the policy, but they're like, no, you can have them air it, which they did, because I had friends in different cities that actually saw it, but we couldn't put our link, and I had to turn the GoFundMe off.
Oh, wow.
Which was sort of a pain, because the kids were pretty excited to see how much money they'd be able to raise.
Yeah, that's there's a lot of politics when you start having state-run school. So I get that. I think we all get that. But interesting. So how have the sales been going? Are you producing this all yourself? Is this all handmade by you? Or do you have other people helping you?
No, not really. So it's pretty new. Mm-hmm. I just sort of started it and making it myself. And I sort of got like a little back ordered, like, oh my gosh, this is a lot. And I was going out of town for a few weeks. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have so much. I don't even have enough to make as much. So I like got into it. But yeah, it's going pretty well. I've made a lot so far. I haven't really done too much advertising recently, just that I've been away and didn't really want people placing orders and not being able to fulfill it. But now I'm back in Virginia, so I'm going to start going back to advertising and start making more. I have other soaps that I need to send you some out of like the other ones that I've made that are ready to go. I got like the stickers and the cases and stuff made. I just haven't really, I haven't even advertised the other ones that I have. But it's all new. But
are the other ones gonna like this one's good, obviously, for all the ailments that grapplers deal with and stuff like that. Are the other ones gonna like have other benefits, or are they just gonna like smell nicer?
This one that I have, I'm really excited about. I'm actually teaming up with the Firefighter Foundation. I'm calling it Fireman's Care, which is like wrestling takedown too. Mm-hmm. And I have this, so I actually have a mild case of psoriasis, which is like a skin like when your cells are scanned, just keep developing.
Yeah.
Which is almost like an open source. So I'm more vulnerable to like staph infection and stuff like that. So I've had psoriasis for a while now. And so actually that's probably one of the reasons why this soap is so important to me. But the Fireman's one is an anti-inflammatory soap. Mm. So for those that have like a skin condition or muscle soreness, that there's this oil, like neem oil, that I've been researching a lot that I've added to it. That's supposed to be for inflammation. So I'm sort of like test running that right now and seeing how it works with myself. So yeah, the different ones, yeah, they all have some type of benefit that that relates to some type of athletic, and be grappling, MMA, you know, that MMA type of sport area.
Yeah, I you're definitely gonna be making some money off of me then. because I mean, all that's all stuff. I mean, you mentioned this. I actually have eczema myself.
Yeah.
So same thing.
Yeah, so, Fireman's Carry. It's pretty cool. It's like white and red. And one of my really close buddies that I do jujitsu here is a firefighter. So we're gonna do 10% of the sales. Let's go to his foundation.
Mm-hmm.
To the Firefighters Foundation. He's setting that up. And the sticker has him actually doing it's like a drawing, sort of similar to the Epic Cooler, but it's him sort of carrying someone in a fireman's carry, but as in a fireman suit. So it's pretty cool. Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And he's putting
it on the project. Yeah. So, I mean, we were talking just before we went, we started recording. I mean, obviously, we got to talk about some martial arts and fight stuff. I mean, outside of our own training, it's the Tuesday after UFC 264. You said you had tuned in to watch some of the fights. So, what did you get to watch?
Yeah, I was really excited to see Ryan Hall, and Ryan Hall has a jiu-jitsu academy right where I live. I don't train there. I train at an Altos affiliate under a guy named Tony Passos. But I was interested in Ryan Hall, and I watch his MMA fights, and I think his grappling's, I mean, for what it is, it's phenomenal with his leg locks and stuff. So I watched the prelims. I didn't pay for the actual main card, but I did watch the recaps of Conor McGregor's fight, which was pretty crazy. I'd like to hear y'all's take on that. But Ryan Hall, we were briefly talking about that before. He just kept going for that ankle. He wanted that heel hook so bad. And I don't get why. A matter of time, I think this guy's going to catch him with something. He's got to hit him, you know, because he just beat him with the shoulder. Like, it was very obvious what he was doing. It was just so repetitive. But
I mean, with that style, and you guys are the jiu-jitsu experts. I'm the fan here, but I said it to Ed, because Ed, I believe, placed a small bet on Hall to win by submission, because the odds were pretty high. I told Ed last week, I don't remember if it was on air or not, but basically with Ryan Hall, it's either going to be a submission or he's going to get knocked out brutally on the ground. You don't play that game in jiu-jitsu. You can do that all day long, because somebody can't, you know, come down and crush your skull. But in this, you only get so many chances. So it almost was frustrating to see him keep going for it to the finish, because it's like, well, maybe let's get up and try something else. You know, I mean, and the guy he's fighting, undefeated, Topuria, I don't know exactly to say his first name, to be honest with you. Is it
Aaliyah?
Yeah. You know, he moves to 11-0, so obviously he's legit. But, you know, Hall's been a guy that a bunch of guys have been afraid to fight. I wonder if this is going to kind of open the door again, or, you know, if he's just one more submission away from kind of becoming that feared, you know, dangerous fight at the weight class.
Yeah. Like, his kicks were looking good. Like, he's got some good kicks. He didn't really throw him any punches, but – and I like his demeanor. Like, I don't know if his demeanor is, like, I'm so comfortable – or is it like, I don't even care? Like, it's such a weird, like, I don't know how to take him. Like, is he taking it serious, or is he just so calm that it, like, it's not phasing him? It's very confusing.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I think that's one of the things that makes him, you know, there's a lot of memes out there because of his whole demeanor. Yeah. It's very, I mean, none of his expressions or the way he carries himself makes you think this guy's a professional mixed martial arts fighter. But to talk about I think I saw yesterday or today that he actually, the first punch he threw, he broke his hand. So, which is why he didn't throw a lot of punches. Yeah.
Well, that's a game changer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's kind of a throwback fight. He reminds me of like the Takoros and the Imanaris, the guys who fought in Japan who have, you know, 22 losses on their record, you know, but yeah. They're 46 and 22 or, you know, 38 and, you know, the Manoa, like the guys who just put on crazy performances, but they just, you get caught. You're not the best striker in the world, but you know, he would do fantastic, I think, in Japan against some of those guys. And hopefully he stays in the UFC and is successful, but it'll be interesting to see where he goes from here.
It'd be interesting in Japan because can't you do like, you can stomp on them on the ground, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, that's somebody throwing their foot at you too.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
You know, he's reaching for a foot, you know, and I think the fans appreciate the roles. And I mean, it's cool. The American fans are with you all aboard as long as it's working. In Japan, I feel like there'd be a lot of oohs and ahs in that arena as the stuff's going on. I think they'd appreciate the kind of the comical aspect almost of it. I mean, there is, you know what I mean? There's a little bit of showmanship to it that is not necessarily appreciated if you're looking at it just as a straight sport, because it doesn't always end successful, you know? Yeah. So interesting. But Jennifer Maia picked up a big win over Jessica Ai. That was kind of a big fight in the women's 125-pound division or early on the card. But, you know, Maia probably works her way back up towards Shevchenko.
That was another one I think I got wrong. I don't remember what my picks were when we did it last week. But, hey, you think your soap would do Connor any good with his broken ankle?
Oh man, I don't know.
If it works crazy with broken bones, it'll be successful for a lot of UFC fighters over the last few months, because it's been a violent, violent run.
Yeah, I feel like you keep seeing those ankle breaks like that recently. Just after Anderson Silva, you keep seeing them like over and over. But yeah, that was nasty.
Yeah, it was definitely, I don't know. I mean, when I was watching it, there's a shot that, I think ESPN shared it, that when he's laying against the cage and he's holding his calf and you just see his foot kind of flop. And it's just it's just like the fact that he was still able to sit there against the cage and rage at Dustin Poirier the way that he was
trash talking the whole time.
I'm like, dude, like, it's over. Like, just stop. You need to go to the hospital. And I don't know what your guys' take was on the, I mean, Rogan, he didn't interview Chris Weidman when Chris Weidman's leg broke. Like, I don't know why he felt the need to interview. I guess because Connor was sitting there, you know, foaming at the mouth.
Yeah, that's probably why. All that trash talking. And isn't it controversial right now that, isn't there like part that they were saying that how he got his ankle broken, the check wasn't really a check, and then there's like a point at the ankle of the jaw.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that. It's almost like they're making it like the magic bullet from that killed Kennedy. Like the way they're investigating how he broke his ankle. I mean, there's Robin Black's got a whole thing up where when he throws the front kick, because his coach John Kavanaugh did an interview with Laura Sanko, and he told her that he thinks that the ankle broke when Connor threw like a front kick that was kind of like what it's supposed to be a teep, but it was more like a karate front kick, and it caught Dustin Poirier's elbow. And you know, Dustin Poirier said he felt it when he checked the kick against his knee, that there's a point in the fight where he points at his foot and says, "Oh, that hurt." Yeah, and that's when Dustin Poirier thinks it happened. But I mean, and even Boss Rutten chimed in on his Instagram, did a whole video and said he feels that, because they mentioned the injury that he received in training, Boss thinks it's like, look, it could have started at training and then all the extra impact leading that happened in the fight just made it worse. And
I was going to say, why can't all those be a factor?
Yeah.
He gets it on the elbow and then he gets checked, you know, and then he catches a little shin and then he lands a hard punch to the arm. I mean, all that's going to eat away at it. Obviously that's kind of what happened because it led to just him stepping on it. And it goes, so I think it was a buildup. You know, I don't know how deep we want to get into this because Ed knows I'll go on a rant and I'll say some stuff I might regret here. But I think Conor McGregor has become an embarrassment, and I'm not afraid to say it. I think his actions and what he said and bringing in Poirier's wife and now bringing his kids into his tweets. I'm interested to see how this plays out because I don't think that there was a lot of casual fans sitting at home that could have appreciated that. Maybe they buy it because they like McGregor, but when you start bringing family and stuff into it, he got let off the hook by his leg breaking. He was going to get knocked out cold again, and Herb Dean let him off the hook by not stopping the fight at the end of the first round. I've never been a fan of stopping a fight with 3 seconds left in a round, but if there was ever one that was going to be stopped, if the roles were reversed, that fight stopped. If Conor McGregor's beating on Poirier like that, because nobody had an idea it was a broken leg at that point. Mm. He just sees Conor McGregor shelled up for the last 13, 14 seconds and took nonstop blows. So I don't know. I don't want to go too deep, but I just thought it was embarrassing. I thought Rogan interviewing him, I thought was foolish. They thought that they were going to get McGregor and it's working, I guess. Social media and media is picking it up. But what he said there, and now they got this behind the cameras things where he's threatening to kill him in his sleep. And I get it. He's not going to break into his family's house and slaughter his family. I mean, we know that that's not the case, but you don't talk like that. No other sport. When Tyson would do that, he'd talk about eating children and stuff. And we'd even go, God, this guy's got some mental issues. So maybe we need to start looking at it because I don't see this ending well for Conor McGregor. I said this a while back, even when he was on top of the world. You do the things he does, you get involved with the drugs that he's doing, all the pressure, everything else. I just don't – I don't think it ends well, and I think that we're in a dangerous breaking point here. If he doesn't recover well from this injury, the best thing for him is going to be able to recover and fight again. If for some reason this injury causes him to never fight again, I don't think the next news we hear about Conor McGregor is going to be real good. Just my take.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's one of those things where there's gamesmanship or whatever, and then there's taking stuff too far. And even Dana White said in the post fight press conference that it's been taken too far. So we'll leave it at that. I mean, whatever happens, and we all know the UFC is gonna UFC no matter what they do, especially with all the money they make. And I mean, 1.8 million buys on the pay per view. That's what the number we're getting off of the reports from UFC 264. So we'll leave that where it is. But
hey, mad props to Poirier. I mean, let's talk about that. I mean,
I mean, Dave just talked about doing fundraisers and stuff like that. That's how you started the soap business.
Yeah,
that's one thing that exactly. And it's like, I actually have a draft saved that I'm going to submit to one of the outlets I write for because it just hasn't been talked about enough. All this negative stuff it makes the news. Uh-huh. And meanwhile, he's building houses in Uganda with the money he made.
He's working with Justin Wren, fight for the Forgotten, for the pygmy tribes in Africa. So, yeah, they build water wells, and now I think they bought a bunch of property. They're going to build permanent housing and medical facilities for these forgotten tribes in the jungles. So, I mean, it's God's work, heavy coming from him. I'm just talking about, I mean, that's amazing he's doing that, but the MMA performance on his half. I mean, he's going in there. He's fighting Conor McGregor. He took some shots, which it seems like that's what you got to get through with McGregor, survive those first couple shots. But other than that, it was pretty much a master class from that point. And I just wonder, we've seen the evolution of Dustin Poirier, we might be looking at, I mean, somebody we're going to be talking about is like one of the best lightweights of all time. It's going to be hard for anybody to catch Khabib because his undefeated record. It'll always be on the book, and he's going to have wins over all these guys when the history books are written. But I mean, I don't know, Ed, what you think, but I just can't believe how good he's gotten.
I believe it just because, I mean, I saw it. For me, it was when he got when he fought the war against Justin Gaethje. I was like, okay, this guy's evolving. I mean, never mind that he got his black belt not so long ago either. But I just think it's and Dave can speak to this because we both had to step away from training because of injuries and stuff for a little while. You know, like when you take time off and you come back, everyone else gets better and you're right where you left off. And McGregor's taking way too much. You know, when you focus on boxing, you're not focusing on all the other arts that mix to make mixed martial arts. So I mean, it reminds me of remember when Ken Shamrock went to go do pro wrestling, and then he came back to the Lion's Den, and everybody was better than him. Like that's that's what's happened to McGregor, and I mean, this, he left the sport, but the sport evolved without him, and now he's trying to come back to where he left off, and everyone's moved way past him.
Yeah, I would agree 100% with what you just said.
I was confused. The thing that I found kind of entertaining was this coach coming out, Kavanaugh coming out, saying that they focused too much on kicks this time. They need to get back to focusing on boxing. And I feel like going, how about we focus on jiu-jitsu and some wrestling here?
Yeah.
I don't think your boxing's the problem. It's that anybody that's able to grab a hold of you and get you down to the mat controls you like you're a white belt to a black belt. I mean, you know, he's only able to get up because he cheated. He grabbed the gloves is what led to the frustration of Poirier pulling away and allowing him up. So I just weird scenario here. I think he's just got to humble himself. And if this doesn't humble him, that's the thing that kind of frustrated me the most. If he had broke his leg and given props to Poirier and gone, you know what? I got to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
It's time for me to really get back at it. I got to show that I'm this warrior spirited, you know, Irishman and yada, yada. It would have been like, okay, cool. We can get aboard this. We can cheer for him when he comes back. But I don't think, I mean, he's next fight. I'm cheering for him to get KO'd. I mean, short of him fighting Greg Hardy, I don't know who I would root for, you know? So it's just a fascinating thing where I think the fall from grace is crazy. And I think he got built up to a point.
Yeah.
And it's one thing when you're a guy like Fedor, who's kind of quiet, soft-spoken, and you go through this loss, you're going to get heat from the fans. But when you start talking like he's talking, and now with social media, you open yourself up, and he's going to have to prove that he's got a real strong, I don't know, will's the right word, or he's going to have some thick skin here, because it's going to be ugly if he's not able to.
I was reading about that a lot of people or fans are like, he should start at the bottom now and work his way up. You know, he's not like y'all are saying, he's not at that top level right now because of everything else he was doing. And they're like, he needs, what is he? He's 0-3.
He's 1-3 in his last four. And he's and his only win at lightweight since 2016 is against Diaz. Yeah,
the
Diaz.
Second.
No, I'm sorry.
70.
Cowboy.
Yeah.
Alvarez and then Cowboy is his only win. The Diaz fight was before that. So
I mean, you know what's funny is that one of the things that I'm talking with Joe Lopez that trains with me over at Brian's. When he fought this past January is when he fought Cowboy, right? Yeah, this past January was Poirier McGregor won.
Yeah, the first.
So when that happened, me and Joe Lopez, you know, Joe Lopez, I mean, he just got his black belt the day last when you were out here. Yeah. But we were talking about the fight afterwards, and it's funny that thing happened to his ankle because Lopez was saying, shout out to Joe Lopez because he's mad that I gave Jeff Russo a shout out on this podcast and not him, but. He was saying that back in January after the first fight, if he fights Gaethje, Gaethje's gonna break him, and he fought Poirier again and still got broken because you know we all know Justin Gaethje's all about leg kicks and stuff like that. So, which was a fight that I know was on the table a couple of times, and McGregor was avoiding for obvious reasons. It looks like
Gaethje is a terrible matchup. If that's his return fight, then he's got a death wish. That's not good. I don't know. I think the only fight really for him at this point is Diaz. I think they need to get that trilogy out of the way. And that's the money fight.
Signed a fight today, right? With Robbie
Nick Diaz. Yeah.
The older one's returning. I just we'll see how it goes. I wonder if he's just going to head more towards boxing at this point. I wonder if, it would make more sense to me, and he can make money. He doesn't have to worry about kicks. He doesn't have to worry about takedowns. And there's plenty of boxers who would line up to fight him, even if he's not worthy of their presence in the ring with him.
Yeah. What Jake Paul?
Paul Pacquiao.
Who made the necklace that he made? He tweeted to Poirier if he wanted it or not, and he's sending it to him now.
Yeah.
He's like, you want me to break the ankle or not?
It's $1,000 necklace, right? Isn't it like really expensive?
$100,000. Jesus. Pretty hilarious.
And you're going to break the ankle off of it. He's like, that's great.
You want me to break the ankle before I send it?
Yeah, that's weird. That's so weird. But hey, Dave, listen. Just so we make sure we get all the information for your product out there, I'm gonna pop this up on the screen for folks that listen to the audio version of this. I got the artwork that he was talking about up on the screen here. It looks like you already have the the Fireman's Carry, the Power Clean Super Cream, and the Desert Life Soap coming soon.
So I have all of that made. I'm just sort of using it. I've given it to a couple people I train with just to get their intake and see if it's ready to go. Plus, at the same time, I'm trying to figure out how do I advertise? Like, should I just put it all up at once, or should I do it one by one? It's sort of tough. Y'all started this, like,
yeah.
I don't know if I should do it one by one or just do it all, and then so I'm sort of in that thinking right now.
Well, I mean, you did the Ecto Cooler as a limited run, kind of your test run. I would say maybe just see what you can handle as far as what you can ship and stuff. When you know you can, like, put the time into shipping, maybe the timing was bad with being on lockdown and being, because obviously you were traveling all over again. You said you were traveling for like 3 weeks, but I feel like I just saw you here. It seems like you're traveling for 2-3 months.
Travel. I was New Jersey and New York, and I went to the West Coast. And
yeah.
I just started healing up, so I'm back training. I haven't competed as a black belt, but I was on the brown belt for like 8 months. But I did like the New York Pro, IBJJF. I did Charlotte, Atlanta, and one more. I think maybe Charlotte again. I don't know. I did 4 IBJJF and it did pretty well as a brown belt there. And then I went against the guy who placed in the world as a brown belt that September, and I competed in October, and then that's when I got my black belt. And then COVID hit, February-ish or something like that, and the COVID, and I had my black belt just started.
Oh, wow.
And then my MCL and everything ripped, and then now I'm like, all right, time to get back into training too.
Yeah, that's crazy, because then So you got the black belt, COVID hits, you had to take off, and you're injured. So
yeah,
like
yeah,
you had
been a black belt at all. I've had it for like a year and a half, I guess, but I feel like I've had it for 2 months, So
yeah, no, that's crazy. I mean, it makes me wonder, because like I know I just did my I don't want to call it lay and pray, but I mean, I never really did well against you when we rolled anyway. But like, I did my annoying side mount defense against you when we were rolling, just because I was like, I don't know, because you always had your, I mean, I know you said Tony Passos, your instructor, he does like a lot of kinesiology and all that stuff with the way he teaches jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, he's so cool of how he understands the body mechanics of positions and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was just like, I don't know what to do with this guy either. I think I'm just gonna, I just want to last the 5 minutes or the 6 minutes or whatever we did. Yeah, but yeah, man. I mean, so the website is recoveryblueprint.limitedrun.com.
Yeah.
For folks that want to check it out.
Facebook and Facebook and Instagram. So I don't have Instagram. I made this. I'm starting getting used to how to do all the social media stuff.
So Facebook, I just want to write it down because I'd like to plug it. Facebook, Instagram,
and just those two.
No Twitter for the old men like myself.
See, I didn't know if Twitter was in right now. I don't know if that's something to get involved in. I've heard Instagram's where it's at. So, but then I don't really even know how to use Instagram as well. It's like Facebook.
Yeah, me neither.
Like MySpace, I'm the band is. MySpace, that was easy. That was awesome.
Yeah, I miss MySpace.
Yeah, I don't know.
Got a couple of. I don't get any dates on social media now. I used to pick up girls all the time on MySpace. But
doesn't Facebook have a dating part now?
Oh, they do, but I don't like Facebook. The only reason I keep it is actually not for nothing. It's to keep in touch with everybody from jiu-jitsu, and one of the outlets that I do combat sports coverage for insists on using Facebook groups for communication. But if it wasn't for that, I'd have been deleted my account a long time ago.
So what, you on Instagram?
I'm an old man. I'm on Twitter. Twitter's my big thing.
Probably for the soap, though, probably Instagram. Instagram's probably the right one for the soap.
Okay.
Because you can do pictures. It's a little bit more, I think more the hip thing right now, although I think that's even on the, it's now TikTok and all this other stuff, but don't even ask me about that. So, but I think Instagram, probably is just as good as you'll want for your product.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get the TikTok account, you're gonna have to start dancing and or something with the bar of soap in your hand.
You might with the metal look or the you might be able to pull something off though.
Not for nothing, Dave. When you told that story about the band, I feel like I did not know that about you. I feel like that's the first time I heard it.
We used to play a lot in Bound Brook, New Brunswick. New Brunswick was pretty big. Where else? I mean, we play Asbury and Southern Jersey, Northern Jersey. But yeah, we always did. In the trash, they always like the Bronx and the city, Long Island, Poughkeepsie. But then we started touring full time and got to go just everywhere, which was really cool.
What was the name of the band?
We were called The Miracle of You. We were on it's a record label from New York called Hoppet Records, and then we were gonna sign with a label called Rise Records, and I don't know, they have ties with the record label called Victory Records that we went up to Chicago and did some stuff with.
All right, cool. So the social handles, I know I gave out the website link, but the social handles are all just the Recovery Blueprint on Facebook
and Instagram. Yeah.
All right. I mean, that's it for me, man. I mean, I don't have any more questions. If there's anything else you want to plug, Dave, just go right ahead. The floor is yours.
I don't even know, but this was awesome. I appreciate y'all having me. I was listening to the podcast before about the MMA, all the MMA stuff that y'all were covering, which is awesome. I feel like when we were training together, and that was when Ricardo Romero was like just starting to get his name out there with like the Ring of Combat and everything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was so into UFC and everything, just because he was always there and you're always like catching in. So it's good. Like, I do love the UFC fights, but sometimes there's so many new guys that you sort of lose track of. So it's awesome listening and getting back into everything.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know what's funny? You say that, you're talking about Ricardo and all them from back in the day. Did you see that Mike Ahn is in Doohoi Choice? He's cornered a couple of the Korean guys that came from Korea. Yeah.
Mike ordered some sub too.
Oh, nice.
He did, yeah. So he hit me up. He's like, hey, I'm going to get some sub, which was cool. Yeah, I see him on, he's always traveling with the UFC. He's like in Hawaii recently and...
Yeah, and he went to he was on Fight Island for one of those to help corner one of the guys.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's crazy.
He's a monster too. He should be.
Yeah. UFC. Yeah. Did you roll with him since he's been back and forth from there?
No, not. I think we were just white belts, maybe back blue belts.
Yeah. But I rolled with him. I rolled with him maybe in 2018, and he was fighting, and he came from Korea to visit. And he was fighting over there over at Top FC, I think, or his team was at Top FC. And I remember rolling with him, and he didn't catch me with anything, but similar to you, because you know, you guys are all competitive. I'm not, I'm just a broken down old grappler. but he was literally every position he was in the whole time I rolled with him, I was like, if this was an MMA fight, he'd be raining down punches and elbows on me right now. So yeah, I mean, he's really good.
Yeah, he had like endless cardio. I remember he would just sit there kicking pads all day. You just hear like,
yeah.
God, I had to get hit in the head with one of those.
Yeah, the good old days. Yeah. But anyway, I'm sorry, Matt. I mean, you know, I don't get to see Dave. I saw Dave.
Like, I'm just enjoying listening. I appreciate Dave's time and you know, we didn't give you enough credit for the whole starting this up to help the families that were in need and stuff during COVID. So, you know, although this might work out to be a financial gain for you in the long run, the fact that you started this up to help other people is a really good feather in your cap and just shows that, you know, shows a good heart. And, you know, if anything, I'd recommend maybe figure out a soap you can do, get the kids to help make. I don't know how that would work, but, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know the politics behind that either, because there's part of me, because they were like, why would you end this? Like, so many, like, why would you end this? And part of me wanted to do it, like, just keep going with it. But
I understand when the money starts rolling, and I'm just wondering if you could have like a. Yeah. You're talking about certain kinds of soap, so maybe you have one called the schoolhouse, gym, locker room, or whatever the heck. You know what I mean? Something like that. But anyways, thanks for your time, fans. Interested in the soap from a black belt in jiu-jitsu who knows how important it is to keep the cuts and the wounds and the skin clean. Check out the Recovery Blueprint on Facebook and Instagram. Again, the link, thank you, Ed, is recoveryblueprint.limitedrun.com.
Yeah, I got shirts and all these other shirts coming in and stuff too. You got one on.
Ed's showing off the shirts.
So. I got to pick them up in Pennsylvania. They're already made. I just got to travel again and pick it up.
Fans can check out the show always at allaccessmma.com for our video podcast. Our audio podcast is available wherever most audio podcasts are available. Check out the show on Twitter at Combat Hour, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow me, Matthew Hawkins, at MMA Hawk 21 on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Ed at Carbazol on Twitter, Carbeerzol on Instagram, and Old Head Carb on Twitch. Ed's not old enough to stop playing video games, though, so he helps us get our views through his video game stream.
that actually came out of COVID too, by the way.
So. All right. Well, thanks again for your time, David. It was a pleasure to meet you, and best of luck with goes, and keep us updated on how it's going. And anytime you want to come back on and plug a new product or anything, feel free to reach out.
Awesome. Thanks, guys, so much.
Awesome. Cool. Have a good night.
See you, Ed. I'll come up to you.
Hey guys, Ed here, East Coast side of the Coast to Coast Combat Hour podcast. If you like what we're doing, make sure you subscribe on YouTube and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Also, if you'd like to help us out and donate, the support links are in any of the podcast descriptions, and the links are also provided on our YouTube channel, The Blogboard Jungle. Thanks again for listening, and if you give us some support, we'll give you a shout on the podcast, maybe bring you on for a UFC pay-per-view breakdown or two. Thanks again.